The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Clock today, rescheduled from last Monday? Yes?
This Monday,
right. Well, last Monday. Monday before, now. The Monday. I'll get started because it's 5, and if other people want to come in, they can come in. I guess I'll say some stuff, and then you guys can ask questions if you have any questions. You're all first years? Okay, my sense about selecting courses that I have from my own experience in law school and my experience being a professor and now an academic dean is that you should worry less than you think about what the subject matter of the course is that you're taking. If you think you want to do practice in a certain area of law and you think you've got to take all your courses in that area of law, that's actually not true. And not necessary. If we're talking about getting a job in a certain area of law, I think most employers care far more about how you did in law school than the subject matter of the courses that you took. I think employers will care about the kind of courses you take, but again, not subject matter wise, more in terms of were they demanding and sort of significant classes. So an employer is much more likely to look at a string of classes that he or she will not understand what they are because they're sort of esoteric and nobody really has a sense of what it means, than they would to say, oh my God, this person took business associations and I'm hiring a litigator, so I couldn't possibly do that. That kind of thing just doesn't really happen. That said, there's nothing wrong with deciding what you want to do with your life and taking all your courses in that. It's your money. It's a lot of money. And if what you want to do is take 70% or 80% of your courses in a certain area, more power to you. My message is that you shouldn't feel like you have to do that, or that you're limiting your options if you don't do that. So that's one point. Second big point, and I felt this way somewhat in law school, but I certainly feel this way now, more important who you take the class with than what the class is. A really, really good professor, and of course all of our professors are really, really good. A really, really good professor teaching a class you might not otherwise think is a fascinating class is probably going to create a better academic experience for you than a really class that sort of is hit on home for you in terms of what you think you want to do, but the professor is not as effective. And given that one of my jobs is to supervise my academic colleagues, let me say again, all of our professors are wonderful. So don't think about it in terms of someone being good or bad. I think maybe more think about it in terms of what sort of a proper style for you and an effective style for you. And it is certainly true that some professors, 70% of the students love or 80% love, and there's another 20% that are like, no. And sometimes the other way around. Some professors that a lot of people are like, ah, some students, that's just what they're looking for. So think about what you want out of a classroom experience. If you find it in your first year, and I hope you have, follow those people around. If they're teaching other things that seem somewhat vaguely interesting to you, take the classes from them again. Again, not necessarily to the expense of everything else you could take, but I strongly recommend doing that. And then talk to your friends. Look at the information on the website. Many people don't know. We have information on student evaluations of all professors for about the last 10 years on the website. If you go to myamerican.com and click on academics, the last thing on the list is WCL evaluation of student reports, something incredibly intentionally vague so as not to tell you what it is. I didn't write it, so I don't know. But that's student evaluations, and you can click on it and go by professor. So if you want to look, Professor Niles, he teaches administrative law. Let me see what his evaluations have been like since he's been here. I mean, not since I've been here. I think everything's from 2000 on, so it's a lot of information. Please take a look at that stuff. Again, we're very pleased with the people. Did we lock people out? We shouldn't do that. That'll be a bad thing.
It was just loud.
I'll get email complaints if we lock people out. You locked me out. Yeah, that's better. We can close it, but just keep it unlocked. Yeah, just, okay, yeah, try that. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, yes, wonderful colleagues, all my colleagues are great, but you'll see when you look at that information that maybe some people are more successful or more engaged with students in some classes, so please take a look at that sort of thing. It's information available to you, and it would be silly for you not to take advantage of it. Okay, next big category suggestion. I strongly recommend that people take advantage of sort of the best part of any institution. I mean, when you're in Baltimore, you should have crab as opposed to whatever. When you're in, I don't know, Texas, you should have steak. Seems reasonable. San Francisco, I don't know, ice cream, chocolate, I don't know what's good. San Francisco, saltwater taffy, whatever it is. At this place, you should take advantage of our clinics. All of our stuff that goes on in this place is fantastic, but our clinics are, I think, without much debate, either the top or close to the top clinics in the country, if not the world. If you can take a clinic experience, be it one semester or two semesters, I strongly advise that you do so. Another good thing about our clinics, unlike many schools, is we have lots of options. Many schools have one clinic or two clinic opportunities. We have more than I can even remember sitting here. So you should hopefully be able to find a clinic that you find particularly interesting and hopefully be able to get into it. I know it's not necessarily true that everybody can get into their first choice of clinic, but I would imagine if you have at least a couple different choices, you'll have a good chance of getting one or the other. It's time consuming. It takes up a big chunk of time, but both in terms of taking advantage of what we do well and also, in my opinion, in terms of preparing yourself for practice, there's nothing better than actually getting involved with representing clients. I worked at a big law firm for a couple years that seemed to think that the way to sort of develop someone's experience was to have them wait around for 5 or 6 years and then to start do interesting things. It seems to me I was just as capable of learning how to do depositions and cross-examination when I was a first year as I would have been as a fifth year or sixth year associate. I think that's true in law school too. I think if you learn some practical, effective lawyering skills in the clinic, it puts you 3, 10, sometimes 30 steps ahead of colleagues coming out of school searching for jobs and trying to be successful in jobs. So I strongly recommend the clinic. If you can't do the clinic or don't want to do the clinic, take advantage of our externship program, which is also a wonderful program. One of the great benefits of being in law school in this city is after the summer when everybody wants to be in D.C. from all these law schools all around the country, they all have to go back to their law schools, and you all are still here, and you still have the opportunities that otherwise exist in hundreds, literally, of government offices and national offices of nonprofits and all the other things you can do in this city. Again, not taking advantage of your D.C. education and connecting with one of these entities that's in D.C., I think, is a mistake and isn't sort of making the most out of your opportunity. So again, if you can't do a clinic or in addition to a clinic, take advantage of one of our externship opportunities. We do a wonderful job, I think, with our externship program and our externship seminars, which really makes the externship experience more than just an internship where you're doing busy work for somebody. Hey.
You're not collecting these, are you?
What are they?
I show you what has been marked as Plants Exhibit 1 for them.
I'll collect it. I'll put it here with this other one.
Since you're
I hope you said nice things about me on this because I'm going to listen to it.
I always speak to you.
I'll bring it. I'll bring it to my office and I'll listen to it.
What are you talking about?
General advice on courses.
Oh.
What did I just say about the clinic? Anyone? What did I say about the clinic?
Fabulous.
And what did I say you should? One thing you should make sure you do in the school?
Take one.
Yeah, take clinic. See?
There you go.
I didn't even know you were over there. It's Bob Dinnerstein, the director of our clinic. Used to have my job. He did it a lot better than I do.
Pardon.
Thank you, Bob. So that's externships. Other big thing of advice, and then I think I'm going to probably... I'll say one more thing after this, and then I'll stop, and then I'll ask for questions. I like a mix of what I call big box classes and boutique classes on any given semester and over the course of your time in law school. I think it's probably a good idea not to take 4 seminars in the same semester, or 5, or however you would have to do to add up to enough. It's also probably not a good idea to take evidence, business association, tax, administrative law on the same semester just because it would sort of fry you. I think 2 of one type and maybe 2 of another type is a really nice balance. So, I mean, big box, big 100-person, 90-person, 80-person classes, bar classes, whatever you want to call them, sort of big introductory classes. I teach administrative law, tax, business associations, something like sales even, which may not have as many people, but is a good basic class. Even something like environmental law, which is sort of a subsidiary of administrative law, but still a good big class. Evidence that I mentioned, evidence. These big classes that sort of are obvious things that you would want to take that have a lot of sections and a lot of people. Combine those with some smaller classes, some little writing classes, some little seminars, some things that maybe do seem kind of funky and odd that might have titles like just war theory or something like that that are going to make people look and say, what, what? And there's, I mean, not to get too practical in terms of employment-related advice, but it's nice to have something kind of interesting to talk about in an interview. Hey, what's this just war theory class? Oh, let me tell you. Oh, my God, you sound so interesting explaining that. Oh, we like each other. Let's get a job together. So those are good ways to... to, I think, diversify what's in your transcript. I do think employers looking at a transcript that just has these big obvious classes to take, someone might wonder if this person has any imagination or creativity at all. Did they just take the classes that have the most students enrolled in them as opposed to something a little bit more, I don't know, personal? So combination of those things are good in terms of your psyche and your emotions, but I think also good in diversifying what you have as a curricular demonstration, again, on your transcript. Last thing, I guess even more specific, some courses that you should really try to take if you can. I'm going to list more courses than you can probably take. So if I list 7 or 8, I guess my advice is maybe to try to take 4 or 5 of these before you're done. I don't think it really makes a difference the order in which you take them. I'm not a big proponent of I've got to take all the bar classes in my last semester or third year. I guess for some people that works. I don't really think you remember stuff in the way you need to remember it for the bar anyway. I think it's all about the bar review course, unfortunately. Much to the benefit of the people who make lots of money on bar review courses, it really is a effective way to study for that crazy thing. And I'm not sure if taking evidence your second semester, third year makes a difference in terms of you being able to answer evidence questions on the bar. I'm not sure. Maybe it does. Didn't help me any. I know that. I would say on this list, administrative law, and I'm not just starting with that because it's a course I teach. It's the first one alphabetically on this list. Business associations. Someone asked me recently if I regretted not taking a course in law school. And the number one on my list, and really the only one on my list, is business associations. It's like not taking torts. I mean, it's or contracts. Maybe it should be a required course, more so than criminal procedure, but I didn't say that. Everything, given that the nature of legal interaction usually involves corporate entities or people who are sort of brought together to be a corporation, makes business associations absolutely critical to have some basic understanding. And this doesn't mean, I remember in law school, I was like, I don't have to take business associations because I'm not going to work for some big company and be, I mean, whatever. Even if whether that was true or not, business association relates to small nonprofits. It relates to startups. It relates to anything that you might do. I'm on the board of a nonprofit legal office that represents whistleblowers, people who sort of give information about bad stuff that's going on either in companies or the government. And business associations is critically important to running that place and understanding how that place actually has to deal and has to exist in from a legal framework. So I wish I'd taken it. Alternative dispute resolution seems like a thing in your generation you got to take because so much is going to be done that way over time. Got to take some IP. Don't have to. Again, that's on my list. Good idea to take some IP, something in IP. It really doesn't, in my sense, it doesn't make much of a difference what you take in IP. We got lots of really good IP people. My co-associate Dean across the hall from me is my friend and is absolutely fantastic. Christine Farley, you should try to take a class with her if you can, but all the people are also good too. Evidence. We have fantastic evidence professors. We have one that everyone seems to be scared of. Another some people are kind of scared of. I think they're all wonderful, and it's a critically important course if you're going to have any connection to a courtroom ever. I mean, sure, there are some lawyers who do transactional practice and other things where sort of any litigation-related thing doesn't have any relationship to them, but that's very uncommon, and you don't want to sort of start with that kind of, I don't know, that's not a deficiency. You want to have that facility and that understanding of what's going on in the courtroom, and I think evidence really helps you with that. Personal income tax, of course, I took as I thought I should take, and I was right. And it's really, really fascinating course. If you don't think that it is, it really is. In addition to it being about some of the most, it's the most important way in which our lives are regulated through the tax code, for better or for worse, and having an understanding of that just for your regular day-to-day life, let alone as a lawyer, I think is critical and important. None of the rest of them. No, I'm just kidding. the rest are terrible. I mentioned sales. I think a transactional class is a good idea, so either sales or secured transactions or something like that. Probably good to have a basic sense of that. I would put that slightly on a lower tier than the other ones that I've mentioned. I think that's it in terms of the big ones. I mean, again, lots of other really good ones, but those are the ones that if I had a kid or a family member who was in law school, I would say, you know, you really should try to take those. Other really good ones. We have wonderful people teaching Fed courts. We have wonderful people teaching remedies and
don't say what people teach that. He said, talking to himself. Yeah, so, again, maybe you could take all of those. I don't know. Again, given what I said about big box and small box, maybe you shouldn't try to take all those again and have some sort of mixture. And I guess I'll close with what I said in the beginning. Find faculty that either from your own experience or from what you hear are the kind of faculty that you think you'll enjoy taking a class with. Either you know for sure because you've already done it, or you have a good idea because someone knows you and says, you know, you really love this class. If you get advice like that, it seems to me that's more important than someone telling you, yeah, if you want to get a job in X, you better take X class. It just doesn't really work that way, in my opinion. So that's the spiel. Any questions? Either any questions because I'm associate dean or just questions because I'm some person? Yeah.
I know they say that you don't need like a business or math stuff background to take those kinds of courses,
mm-hmm.
but do you really?
No. Business association is definitely not. It doesn't really relate at all to sort of running a business. It more relates to the sort of definition of a corporate entity and how it relates to other sort of things in the world. Probably a lot closer to a property class more than anything else than it is to some sort of mathy class. Tax is the one I would have worried about most. I took tax. There are a lot of things going on in tax that I didn't understand, but it wasn't because I didn't have a math background. It's just kind of complicated. But it's not like algebra or calculus. I think it's more about being a person who is good with detail and specifics than it is a person who's good with numbers. Because tax is a very regulatory class. You got to read a statute, figure out exactly what it means, how you apply it to a set of facts. So in some ways, it's more relevant to the kind of skills in a class like civil procedure, which I do teach, than maybe a mathy type class, in my sense.
Even like secure transactions?
Yeah, I don't think that's very different. I think it's kind of the same thing. I think it's just, it's not so different than other legal classes you take, and I don't think there's really a lot of math involved in it. Would it help to have a business background in a class like that? Maybe, because maybe you'd recognize some of the things they're talking about. But I've never had an experience that someone communicated to me that they didn't feel like they could do well in a class like that because they didn't have a business background. I would strongly suggest, because he's really a very good guy and he loves talking to students, David Snyder, who's sort of the head of our business program. I would ask him that question. I'm sure he would give you a long and very interesting answer.
Well, in the description for, I think, his secure transactions, it specifically says, you know, no business background is required, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But again,
he'd give you 20 minutes on that if you want to talk to him, and about 10 of it might be really interesting, so I would see what he says. Yeah.
Imagine there's like a special area you want to like you know, get really good at.
Yeah, sure.
For example, like, I don't know, congressional investigation.
Sure.
Or trade law.
Okay.
Is it better to take like your required courses or like bar courses earlier or later? Like if you can push it back as far as you can.
I think there are people who would argue that the bar courses should be taken as late as possible so they're fresh in your mind when you take the bar. Again, I personally don't think that necessarily follows, but it could. So that would be one reason to sort of back end the bar type classes. My strong sense, again, is just to always mix them up. I think in any given semester, it's good to have a couple of those big bar type classes and a couple of other classes. And maybe those other classes will be classes more directly related to what you feel is your strong interest. So let's say your strong interest is international human rights. I still think a semester with business associations, tax, and a couple international human rights classes is the optimal kind of semester, as opposed to four international human rights or five international human rights classes, or getting the bar classes all over with at the same time so that you can spend your next three semesters doing the other stuff. So I'd say balance, but if you feel like you're the kind of person that it's going to make a difference when you take classes, then try to take the bar classes late as opposed to early.
And you also have like the background skills necessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you mean. Yeah, I mean, I had someone in my office yesterday who wants to do environmental regulatory stuff. And he's like, well, then I think I should take administrative law early because it's sort of the foundation for those things. And it's true, if you can, but it's not going to kill you. You can take environmental law before taking administrative law or immigration law or antitrust, tax, any number of the regulatory classes. I don't think you should feel like you have to take administrative law before them. That said, if you take administrative law before food and drug law, for example, you might have a bit of a head start in terms of understanding some of the basic concepts. I think administrative law is a good second-year class to take for that reason. It's sort of a nice stepping-off point from the stuff you learn in the first year, because first year is all about private law. It's all about individual disputes between individual parties. Administrative law is about public law, sort of governmental regulation and issues relating to sort of regulations the government makes, but also entitlements the government provides for. So it's sort of like the next step up in terms of complexity of the way our legal system works. So administrative law, first or second semester, second year, I think is a really good idea. And that may be true. I mean, you're already doing criminal procedure. So those foundational classes early, there's something to be said for that. So, yes? Or just what styles you think will work for you, because that's different for different people.
Right. So, I like Professor Robin's style a lot. I like Professor Carroll. I know he's new this year, so mm-hmm. I don't know how familiar you are with him.
I'm not. I've never seen him in class.
Okay. Are there any professors
who are like those professors?
Not your professor.
I didn't say that. I didn't say try to pick professors who are like other professors that you like. Although I guess you could try to do that too. Why don't you stop by my office? We can maybe try to handle that one a little bit more specifically. I don't want to say something out of turn in front of all 100 of you students. Anything else? Yeah.
In terms of part-time students,
yeah.
It's a little harder for, you know, at least in my view, to balance out, you know, the bigger courses,
sure.
and the boutique courses.
Sure.
You know, do you think there's necessarily a big disadvantage to, you know, getting some of this stuff? Like, we're going to have to take con law, you know, next semester, and adding business associations to it. Like, would you really recommend trying to find that smaller course, or if there's, you know, because I see the point. And I totally agree with it, but at the same time, it's a little harder making the schedules.
Yeah, I think
it seems like some of the bigger classes are all that's available.
I mean, I sort of think about the true part-time student who's taking sort of half the number of credit hours. Should cut that advice in half. So instead of two and two, I think one and one works. So if you're already assigned by us some big box class like con law, I would lean towards a smaller class. And then when those requirements go away, that's when you can start sort of turning to more of the bigger classes. And then still be one and one, though. So you got an open semester, you don't have any requirements, that's when you take business associations, or that's when you take tax, or that's when you take evidence or administrative law. That's what I would suggest. You had another question?
Yeah. I was wondering, that whole oral argument thing in rhetoric was kind of...
Which?
Oral argument.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Was kind of terrifying.
Okay.
And I know that we have, trial ad here and appellate ad.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, is there sort of a warming up to a class on main campus where you could kind of, make it? I mean, I know it's different because I feel like the questioning part was the hardest.
You mean by main campus, you mean at the university, like a class on public speaking or something? There might be. I don't know. I'm not very familiar with their course listings. I'd be surprised if there wasn't a public speaking class. But we might take appellate advocacy. That might be kind of a warm-up thing and let the faculty member teaching it know that you really had some sort of, I don't know, troubles, concerns, whatever it was, anxiety about oral argument in the first year, and I would imagine they'll be very kind and thoughtful about it and try to set up a way for you to try to work through that. I would strongly recommend that, because appellate advocacy is a good class to deal with that sort of thing. Yeah?
That actually segues nicely into another thing that concerns me.
Okay.
The professional skills requirement.
Yeah.
How do you find the right professional skills course that will supplement or complement what you're trying to do?
Good question. Professional skills requirement is relatively new, so we're really sort of working through that. The ABA just started being serious about it a couple years ago, so we did too. I think, and this is just me, I think I would go in sort of like a odd direction with my skills class and maybe use it as a chance to go into an area that I wasn't otherwise thinking about I might want to do. For me, I think of the legal drafting classes, because that's kind of a different sort of thing. Like a class that's really just about how you write up a certain kind of document is very different than what you do in your other classes, particularly after first year. But even legal rhetoric obviously doesn't have time for that. And we have a few classes that are sort of in that area, legal drafting sort of wills or legal drafting of corporate documents. There's a couple different ones of those. I would strongly recommend those. They're small. You'll get a lot of feedback about your writing from the faculty member, which is a really good thing to get. I wish we had more requirements of upper level writing requirements. I know you guys probably don't wish we did. I'm glad we don't, but I think it's a great idea to take some writing classes. So if you can combine a writing class with a skills class in an area that isn't otherwise something that seems obvious to you, that's what I'd be looking for. Yeah.
What's a good writing class for the upper level writing requirement if we don't make it on a journal?
Any kind of writing seminar. Just pick a seminar that sounds like it's a subject matter area that you think is interesting, and make sure.
Even, like, just doing independent
studies. Independent studies fine. Independent studies problematic because, you'll be doing with a faculty member who's pretty much already busy doing lots of other stuff. And even before I was associate dean, I found it very difficult to provide a lot of guidance and support for students doing independent studies. I tried, but there was just so much other stuff going on. And the other stuff's going. Some of the other stuff that's going on is your classes. So I think you'll get better supervision and support from a faculty member if you're in their seminar than you would if you try to do an independent study with them. I know we have some faculty members, Steve Laddick and some others, who love supervising independent studies and I'm sure do a fantastic job. But I think even they probably are in a better situation to help students when they're doing their seminar work. So, as between the two, I would personally recommend doing it through a seminar, but you can always do it through an independent study. And the good thing about that is you really can just identify a professor that you think you want to work with and go to them and say, I'd like to do an independent study with you on X, and assuming they agree, then that's great. You don't have to worry about it, and then you can find a way to write it. Again, most of us humans probably won't do the best job in the world of being there and sort of reading your drafts and giving you lots of feedback the way we might in more of a structured seminar setting, but it's still certainly a possibility. I would recommend picking someone that you think is very likely to be very conscientious and focused. And again, if you stop by my office, I can give you some more discreet advice about that. Like not me, for example. Because I won't be. I'm not good at that. Anybody else? You're welcome. Yeah.
What about specialized areas that are not normally in the mainstream study of law, like, say, lobbying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you study that? I mean, how do you go after it?
I think look for classes that seem to address that, but, like, administrative law, to a great extent, is a class about lobbying, and a lot of the things that are sort of, I don't know, tangential, sort of not obviously sort of, there's classes that would relate to them. There are going to be classes that will be interesting for them, so. And I think most of those professions, you just need to be sort of an engaged and dynamic and hardworking person, and it doesn't make that much of a difference what courses you take. I mean, I don't think, if you're going to be an environmental litigator, I honestly don't think you need to take a single environmental law class in law school. You can if you want to, if that's what you're interested in, but it's not like you're going to get out there and some case is going to be dropped on your desk and be like, nope, can't work on this, I didn't take environmental law, can't figure it out. That's just not the way it works. So really, I mean, sort of when I started, to go back to that, so many students are so focused, I've got to take this class because I'm doing X, or I've got to take this class because I'm doing Y. It just doesn't work that way. What you need to become is a thoughtful, hardworking, conscientious lawyer, and that'll be 99% of success no matter what you choose to do. And you become that in all kinds of classes. You become that by applying yourself and being focused and energized in evidence, being focused and energized in antitrust, being focused and energized in doing hard work in an independent study. Those are the ways you learn how to be a great lawyer. It's much less important what you take. I know from experience, I'm old now. Anything else? Okay, sorry for anybody who was around for Monday. I totally screwed that up. It was no one's fault but mine, so I apologize on my own behalf. But hopefully people were able to get information. Let your friends know, or anyone you know who may not be your friends. If anybody has any specific questions about anything sort of that I can answer as an academic dean, they can email me or stop by my office. I'm usually around most mornings. I teach Wednesday and Friday mornings, so those aren't so good. But Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday are great times to find me over the next week or so. So please stop by. Good luck. You're welcome.